In this week, on the 7th of March 2020, Kwasi Appiah had a headed goal disallowed as what proved to be the Dons' final match at King's Meadow ended in a nil-nil draw after a dour contest with fellow strugglers Bolton Wanderers. It turned out that the fans were watching the final knockings of the 2019-20 campaign as the COVID-19 virus was soon to see the season suspended, with Wimbledon relieved to find themselves just above the relegation zone. Hey, we're slightly relieved now to be a little bit more above the relegation zone. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Hello, hello, dear listener. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Cooper, and today I'm joined by the regulars, Mon Frere, the CEO of Fair Game. Niall Cooper, how you doing, Niall?
I'm doing fine, thank you, mate.
Excellent. And after having a show off, he's back with his hands all over the buttons. It's Dr. Adam Proctor, back from a wedding. How you doing, Adam?
Yeah, good. It was nice to have a week off, actually. It was nice to listen to the podcast and not be on it. I couldn't have added anything to last week's podcast. It was amazing. So I'm very good. Thank you.
Thank you. You keep your job. And our stats man, the football guru, the man with all the football knowledge, it is Mr. Tormark Lewis. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good evening. I'm slightly concerned as to where Adam's hands are, but no, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you very much. And yeah, I've been doing some little stats. Statistical analysis, which I will reveal in a couple of weeks' time.
In a couple of weeks?
Couple of weeks? Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
My God.
No, I've been doing some analysis on chunks of the season.
Oh,
four
okay.
Lots, well, five lots, actually, of nine games at once, and in those nine game chunks.
Blocks, yeah.
He's but so trying to get a job on Sky Sports. That's what's going on.
Mate, I'll take a job anywhere as long as they pay me an appropriate salary and allow me to work from home on Fridays.
Anyhow, and we've got a special guest. I'm whoop, so whoop. Excited. It's so cool. It is, our special guest is the Womble Music Maestro. You might have seen him upstairs in the 1889 Lounge. It is Sammy Mack. Sammy, how you doing?
Hey, it's nice to be here on my favourite Wimbledon podcast.
We'll pay you later, mate. We'll pay you later. Thank you.
I know. We're all so in a nice. Special little happy place now, Sammy. That's lovely. Thank you, Sammy.
That's lovely. He says that to all the podcasts. thank you. And thank you for taking the time to be with us. Well, it's been another week. And actually, in fact, when did we record the last one? Friday. It feels like we're recording podcasts all the time these days.
Thursday.
And my days are running into one. But in between then and now, we've had another win, and how excited it was. Worth getting to the ground at 12 o'clock on a Sunday. Thank you very much, Sky. And it was great because, Mark, you were there.
You didn't bother. I bothered, but you didn't.
Mark was there. Niall, you were there. Sammy, were you there on Sunday?
Bright and early, yeah.
Yep, you see. And I'd love to have been there, but it clashed with my daughter's match. So I had to,
I logged into Sky very late, so I missed the goal because my dad's password was so long. It took me that long to figure out how to log him in. I watched most of it.
Just saying, you have like family commitments. We all know what comes first. You know, people always talk about what comes first.
Yeah, football comes first. I had family commitments. I was in South Wales and stayed overnight and left South Wales at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, just to make it back in time for the game.
Mark, do you actually have a second home in South Wales?
Sounds
because
like
you're
it.
Up there so often.
No, but two out of three of my children are at university there right now. So, unfortunately, I get distracted. The car knows his own way down the M4.
My little boy was given the choice: you can go to football practice in the morning, or you can come to Plough Lane. And he said, "Will there be chips at Plough Lane?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Great, let's go to Plough Lane."
Brilliant choice.
I love that logic.
Yeah,
this is very much a child in my own making there, clearly. As a regular listener, apparently Sammy is our listener, you will well know how much I might cross-reference the need for food of high quality. And
But only apple
that's
crumble,
why.
not any old food. Apple crumble is the most important food for Niall.
Yeah, I mean, I feel it feels wrong. I was looking to get away, but it became quite an exciting game that my daughter was involved with. So, two down, two all, 4-2. She clears the ball off the line. So,
Nice.
I was hoping to get along to the match, and now I feel like the biggest hypocrite in the world because what I did was end up like you, Adam, watching it on Sky after spending the last month or so slagging off Sky and the fact they
You
moved
know
the
what the
whole
best bit
thing.
was that I didn't realize this actually, because Niall was sitting with myself and my wife, and I didn't realize, because I very rarely watch games on Sky if I can possibly avoid it, that the Sky feed is about 30 seconds behind.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
So we were able to basically tell you that Brown had done that audacious little back heel, and Makoch could bundle it in, the wonderful fox in the box, Robbie Earl style one. Didn't really matter how he touched it; he just touched it, and therefore it went in. Before Sky had even got that far.
Why aren't Sky using Mikey T as well? Why would they not use him? I'm sure he'd love to do it. It'd be a much better product if you had a commentator and knew the team and knew the league.
It was ridiculous. So it was all, but it was proper. It wasn't Sky Plus. So they had like proper commentators for as, as proper as could be. But they did seem to bang on about Northampton an awful lot.
But also they, well, yeah, because Kevin Nolan's a well-known individual,
Yeah.
well-known personality. Another classic example of quality Premier League footballer over the years, Brian Robson, how many, Gordon Strachan, how many other examples you need to name, who just can't cut it as a manager, unfortunately.
I've only watched the Sky coverage for the Pizza Cup games, and then it's a single commentator who obviously had never seen any of the players play before, and he gives you stats like, "Yeah, and Ryan Johnson, of course, he represents Northern Ireland." Yeah, great. Thanks for that
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
watched the Bromley game, the Bromley away game at the beginning of a couple of seasons ago, maybe last season, and we were travelling back from holiday on my birthday, so middle of August, and they'd done exactly that. They
Yeah.
had oh, look at that. Breaking news, Kevin Nolan sacked by Northampton.
Hey.
Breaking
Oh, yeah.
news on the WhatsApp.
It's literally just come through now that
No
Nolan's been
way.
sacked.
They are the world exclusive, although this won't obviously go out for a few hours. But yeah, we
Mate.
clearly have done so much for the Northampton fans, who frankly were quite vitriolic on social media. But no, I remember watching Wimbledon Bromley, and it was clearly the first time this commentator had ever commentated on League Two, let alone on Wimbledon or Bromley in this case. And they were scrabbling around trying to find some kind of information. It was quite embarrassing,
We beat them in the
like
Pizza
most of
Cup,
Sky
didn't we? And
commentary.
then they beat us in the league the week after. Is that week? Start of the season, wasn't it?
Can't honestly remember, but this one we lost. This one we lost
That
2-0.
was the league game. Yeah, I went
Yeah.
to. Yeah, dreadful game.
I know it's awful. I mean, I look at the top of League Two in utter despair.
I know. Yeah.
It's just I mean, I can't think of a worse. I mean, all I can do is look at the bottom and hope that Crawley can salvage something by getting relegated. But it's just awful. Oh dear me! But no, the game, was actually quite. It was interesting to watch. I hate watching us on
Yeah, I hate
TV.
watching
It's
us on TV.
absolutely awful. And certainly being 30 seconds behind was dreadful. I think Niall enjoyed it. Actually, texting me just going, this has happened. And I just kept waiting for my phone to go off. I thought I was
What I love
double
doing was
whammy.
right at
I'm
the
off.
end, I was doing the minutes gone, the minutes and
Yeah.
seconds gone, either of that, and go like, this is it. So they could kind of actually see how far behind they were.
Well,
And
that's
so
why I put my phone on the
that's
do not disturb mode whenever I'm watching a game on the TV, because I know someone somewhere is going to spoil it for me. But
Yeah.
I missed the
This is
goal
for
anyway,
Sam's
so it doesn't
benefit.
matter. For
Yeah.
Sam's benefit, this podcast
Can we
actually
talk about the game?
originated.
Can we just.
Before we do that, I want to mention the thing that this podcast originated from all our football chats during lockdown, when we were basically commentating on the game on WhatsApp whilst watching it, because it was that season where fans weren't allowed in stadiums. But the problem was that one of us had a quicker internet connection than everyone else. So
Yeah.
one of us would basically comment, twats and idiots and idiots, because
Yeah.
that's what he writes when we concede a goal. And the rest of us is like, oh, fuck, we've conceded the goal and we can't even see it. So we're literally waiting for something to happen. Like
Yeah.
there's some gunman in front of you that's about to shoot you in the head.
It's not good.
Wow,
It's
that seems quite intense, Mark.
not
We are Northampton
slightly.
fans. That's weird. I've got to talk about the game, right? Because
That's
obviously
a
me and
first.
Mark were there, and Well, most of us remember like the latter part of it.
No, but the first part was Niall's messaging going, I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to be on my own. Is anyone else going to be here? He was really worried about being on his own.
First 35 minutes. The first 35 minutes was, I think, probably our best performance that I've seen. We were awesome. We were totally dominant. James Tilley was on a different plane of being brilliant. It was just absolutely, it was like literally, how many are we going to score? We were just amazing. The goal, I mean, like full credit for Marcus Brown. That when you look at it and you see it on the telly, getting the ball back with that back heel was just...
Putting up with all the stuff that he is frustrating with. It's worth putting up with all of that annoying stuff and him getting sent off for mad tackles and stuff because he's the only player on the team who can do that. So it's worth...
100%.
And Sammy, the thing with it, Marcus Brown over the last... And Matt's a big convert on Marcus Brown, right? Over the last sort of 4 or 5 months, has become a totally transformed player. He's playing forward.
Amazing, yeah.
He's just like absolutely brilliant. He's because before I used to think of him as a luxury when we had him in centre mid, and now up front he is just.
He wants like, him to be Ronan Curtis, didn't we? We wanted him to be the sort of luxury number 10. Deluxe player, but he's not that at all. I think my theory is that there are some players like Ali Alhamadi who's like this. If they get shown a bit of love, you can see how good they are, and they haven't been loved anywhere else. And if they get a bit of warmth from the fans, suddenly they can turn it on and have the, you know,
I mean, it's just
performances.
He's just absolute quality. And him and Tilley,
yeah,
were just that first 35 minutes just on another level. And it was an absolutely joy to watch. I hope Tilley hasn't suffered anything too bad and he's all right for Wednesday. But that one, for me, it was just like, I mean, every time Tilley was putting the ball in, it was like you were kind of half expecting to curl into the far corner. You know, there were loads of little close opportunities. It was just utter dominance. You know, Ryan Johnson at the back, another great performance. Steve
was so brilliant. Good. Bauer as well, head and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just absolutely. And then I think what happened is you know, when you see a team make a change after 30 minutes, because tactically they were just being destroyed. And then they made another two changes because that wasn't really making much of a difference at half time. You know, they were obviously going to be a bit different, but still, I mean, we were just, it was a very good performance. And now we're on 46 points, which I think.
Don't jinx it. Don't say it.
No.
It's good.
No, you're right, Sammy. I am
gods.
A believer in the football gods.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you know, that. It's not bad.
But I've said it before. It's actually not even about the fact, just about the fact we've got another 3 points. If you look at the 6, 7, 8 teams below us, you know, we got, I probably got this wrong without looking at the league table in front of me, but we've got already, without even playing them twice, 3 out of 6 points from Blackpool. Even though we lost a game away at Northampton, we got 3 out of 6 from Northampton. We got 3 out of 6 from Doncaster, despite that last-minute debacle. We haven't got to play Burton second time yet, but, you know, apart from Wigan, really, we've managed to get the majority of points out of every single one of those individual teams. Which
and that
means
only look good because they took 6 off us. They've been dreadful against everybody else.
You know what? If I was an Exeter fan, with what happened with regards to the public announcements about finance, I suspect, again, with Caldwell, there was obviously his family living in the northwest of England anyway. It's a big issue to be that far away from your family and so on. I would be concerned if I was an Exeter fan. There's always a team in every league that gets sucked into it. Obviously, it's Tottenham in the Premier League right now, which is very funny for everybody from South London and Arsenal fans, obviously. But
Mark,
I can feel Exeter being dragged in.
One sec, Mark. I just need to come back to that for a minute. How funny is it about Tottenham? I don't think we've quite said that because I think it is very, very funny. Where I'm at is like looking at that, either Spurs or West Ham going down, quite funny. I think probably I'm going to lean forward towards Spurs being more funny. Only West Ham would be more funny if Millwall went up.
Yeah.
Then I'd find that really funny.
Stevenage fans at the weekend were singing Tottenham away, ole, ole.
No way.
And Lincoln fans. I mean, Lincoln deserve to be where they are. They went to Tottenham for the weekend, really they dismantled them. But Lincoln playing at Tottenham next season would just be hilarious. No disrespect to Lincoln.
Or maybe a certain side just makes a challenge for the playoffs and gets through the playoffs. You know, a certain side, you know,
Are you getting carried away, Mr. Cooper?
No, I'm just saying, you know, like there are certain sides that might fall down through the leagues. Other sides could, you know, make a push.
Well, like Wickham or Reading.
Wickham, exactly. Wickham already. That's what I'm saying. So anyhow, it's all, but the other thing to talk about in that game, because it was a game of two halves, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We dominated the first half. Best performance of, and Tilly was just amazing. I mean, we should have been two or three up. But then in the second half, you know, they were never going to be that bad. And then how do we feel about McDonald?
He was great. Goal.
I mean, really, you know, just, I felt so pleased for him because he's just been sitting on the bench that whole time. He's done.
Not just his saves, but his kicking was really good as well. That's something that Bish lacks a little bit. And McDonald's kicking was notably better than Nathan Bishop's.
Does anyone know why Bishop couldn't play? Is he actually injured?
No, someone said he was injured in warm-up or something. That's what I heard. But I don't know.
I've got that from Alex.
He's injured his elbow.
And we chose not to put a youth team goalie on as the backup, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Well, we don't have a third choice. I presume it's the under-18 keeper who would have played on Saturday. Not that I can tell you who the under-18 keeper is. I mean, but you would imagine he'll be playing, he'll be registered in time.
The coach is
play Wednesday.
Like, if you put your under-18 goalie on the bench, even if he never makes it as a footballer, he can always say, I was on the bench in League One. And if you do have to sell him to somebody, that's on his CV, isn't it? I don't see what the downside is to... Because he's not going to play, is he? Even if you... don't, at the moment, you don't have a reserve goalie, then if your goalie gets injured, you're in trouble. Having an 18-year-old on the bench makes no difference to that anyway.
Yeah, it was a bit stressful having no goalie on the bench, I have to say.
Yeah. Apparently, it was Joe Lewis who was the.
I thought I heard in the interview afterwards, someone say it was Seddon. I thought McDonald was saying it was Seddon who was going to go.
The shortest defender we've got, that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
The concern I had about Lewis is that Niall and I went to get a bit of lunch, a pie or something at half time. And
not crumble.
Really? Niall went for a pie or something to eat at half time?
No,
really?
I went for a pie. Niall went for a hot dog, actually, because my wife had got a hot dog, which apparently was quite tasty. But we came back, and then she said that she'd seen Lewis warming up because her name is Jo Lewis as well. So I just joke about the fact she's on the bench and so on. And she'd seen him warming up, and she said, even warming up, he didn't look particularly athletic or generally.
Was he wearing gloves? That's what we want to know.
He wasn't wearing gloves. Brown's been wearing gloves for about the last month, but.
And Tilly had a very Omar Bougil style hand wrap on.
He did. And I think that's his new style. And I appreciate it. I think it's a good thing.
I think that's definitely it.
And if someone could talk about the style of Omar Bougil or how it's influencing people, it's our resident Omar Bougil fan club CEO.
What? I can't help that he's amazing.
Roger Proctor.
Nothing to do with me. It's just the fact that he's cool.
Yeah. I can't help it if he's amazing.
I think we should talk to our guest and allow him to...
Yeah, man, I just wanted to just get on that. So Sammy, we're so pleased for you to join us today. I mean, can just quickly give us some, like, how did you get involved in the Dons? Have you been a lifelong fan? Is it a recent thing? What's happened?
Well, I might get beaten up at Plough Lane for saying this, but I was not a Wimbledon FC fan. I was a Newcastle United fan, as you can tell from my thick Geordie accent.
Yeah, I knew.
It's really hard to understand you, Sammy.
Yeah.
I'm from the West Country, and when I was a little boy, I didn't really like football until year 96, and I was like 10 years old for that, so I like loved that. And obviously, Alan Shearer is the best player, so I was like, yeah, whoever Alan Shearer is playing for, that's who I support, so I support Newcastle. But obviously, you can't. It's the furthest team away from where I'm from. You can't really go to games. I went to St James's Park a few times. I go away when I could, and being a football fan meant watching Sky Sports, really, like the majority of people. And then I got a load of... I'm a building surveyor by trade, and I got a load of jobs in... the Galliard Homes when they were building Plough Lane. And I thought, you know, I'm in and out of here all the time. I should probably go and watch a game when they start playing. And I couldn't get tickets for the first game, the Bolton 3-3, but I got tickets to the second game, Gillingham. I sat in block 119 with all the naughty boys chanting. And I was just like, yeah, this is great. What have I been doing following the Premier League? This is way better. And I think since then, I think I've missed one league game at Plough Lane since then.
Wow. Yeah. And now you bring the next generation along as well.
All in. I've dragged all my mates along. I've dragged my little boys along. I've dragged my wife along. I won't name any names. I won't dob them in. But when people know that I'm a recent convert to Wimbledon, so many people have said, yeah, man, me too, you know. You used to watch Chelsea, used to watch Fulham. And now we come along to our local club, and it's way better. The community aspect of it is what is drawing people in.
And so that's it, because it's an interesting, because I always think about this with if you like new converts, because obviously we are, I don't know if you would have got it from listening to the podcast, we're slightly in favour of fan ownership.
Me too. I'm ready.
So it's, I mean, I, you know, and obviously that community vibe is a big thing for us as well. And things like what DLAG do, the foundation. It's such brilliant work that is going on, that's come out of the club, which is amazing. But fan ownership for us is like a big thing. If for you, is that a thing?
Yeah.
You know, when it's come to the 50+1 thing, I mean, is that something you're?
Well, I've been specifically told by my wife not to go on a big political rant, but like, yeah, it's so appealing that Wimbledon are fan owned, and to when you're standing in the stands and you're around the other owners, you are owner and the other owners are around you. That's amazing. And when you win, it means so much more. Like if you, let's say you're a Chelsea fan, what are you supporting? Like, oh yeah, I'm so pleased that our rich owner's got more money. Yeah. What is that? I don't understand. What is that to support? You know, if you think having, if supporting someone because they're really rich is the fun for you, go and stand outside your local Shell garage. You know what I mean? And clap people as they fill up their cars with petrol. What is that? I don't understand.
And I want that quote. I want that to be played up so many times. If you want to go support that, go stand outside your local Shell garage. Yeah. That I will take.
When the price of oil goes up, have a little celebration. Get your Shell replica shirt. You know, go and stand outside Bank Tube Station and clap the bankers coming home from work, because that's all it is. That's not community. That's the opposite of community. And the AFC Wimbledon thing is like, it's such a rare example of where normal people have got together and they've created something for themselves, which isn't just a rich guy playing Football Manager in real life. And that's why it's important to deserve it.
Yeah. And that's what we said before. We said that's what it feels like. You know, people are paying the privilege of, and in League One, it's like £6 million.
Yeah.
People are losing every year to play real life Football Manager. And, you know, in some sense, I get it. We've talked about this before, that the people are saying they just want to watch football. They don't want to care about all the politics or whatever it is. They want to go along, see their team be as competitive as possible and get up the leagues. But having a wealthy owner doesn't guarantee you success.
I don't mean this to be rude to anyone specifically. And obviously, everyone's views are equally valid. And I'm a new fan, so I wasn't there for the combined counties and everything else. But like, it's only football I want to watch. I just want to watch the football. Why are you watching League One? What are you doing? Why are you watching a 0-0 head tennis draw against Blackpool on a Tuesday night? If all you want to do is watch football and you think that's all you'll care about, not the politics, everything else, Premier League's there. And it's amazing. And there's all the incredible flair players and it's the most incredible football that's ever been played. Why are you watching Lee Brown? Do you know what I mean? I don't understand.
Yeah. No, I get that. I mean, and I think that is for us all. It's, you know, it's ingrained. And I think that the fact that we became fan-owned is... You know, I wear it as a badge.
Yeah,
like, I don't think there's many places you can go in this world, in literally on the globe, and when someone says, "What team do you support?" You can go at AFC Wimbledon, and it's not even a hesitation. You're not worried about the reaction of the person, unless
there's a real pride, isn't it? It's really different. It's not like, you know, so many people will go and be like almost afraid to say the team they support. But it's like there's such a uniqueness and specialness about being a Wimbledon fan.
Isn't it good to have something that rich people can't buy? Isn't that amazing? What else is there in the world that they can't buy? They can buy everything, but they can't buy this. That alone is incredible.
Yep, that needs to be on T-shirts as well. See, I kind of before that we're already writing lyrics for your next tunes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to know how you got involved in the whole music thing and playing a box.
Yeah, when did that come in? Obviously, music was there before. Before Wimbledon. So, I mean, how long have you been playing?
I wanted to be a pop star when I was a little boy, and I went in the back of the NME, in the old magazine, and I failed my A-levels, and I thought, oh dear, I need to move to London. So I phoned up Clearing before the internet existed, and I said, I failed my A-levels. Have you got any courses in London? And they went, yeah, there's these rubbish courses you can go and do. Great, cool. Sign me up. And then I went in the back of the NME, and I applied to join a load of bands. And I got into the guitarist in like an indie band, and so I moved to London to seek my
fortune. Anyone we would have heard of?
Never looked back. No, you definitely wouldn't have heard of us.
No, on Spotify then.
We played some good gigs. You know, we were called Dead Spies, And we played with the Future Heads, played some good venues, played, you know, all those good venues in London that all got closed down, Barfly and all those places. But yeah, I stayed in London from then and then tried to be a pop star for a long time, and no one listened. And then I played Wimbledon Chants, and that was the thing that people liked. So that's what, that's what I'm known for.
but it's brilliant. I mean, but that's, in a way, Sammy, that's another way into it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're introducing yourself to a whole crowd, and people are going to be listening to it because you play. Do you play in the lounge? Do you before?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, me and my little brother. We play in the lounge. We just do like covers and stuff. We do Beatles songs and Oasis and stuff, and we play a few Wimbledon chants, the clean lyric versions, obviously.
Yeah.
In 1889.
But that's brilliant, because now what's happening there is that obviously you're entertaining the troops and all, and that's fantastic. But people are going to find out more about you.
Yeah, yeah.
And do that little bit of research.
Tried not to do that thing. What you don't want to do is, so it's also this is amazing. It's my song that plays before kickoff.
Yes, that's, I was going to say, that must be incredible.
Like,
that must be incredible.
What other club could you have that at? That's why fan ownership is important, because a fan, I know it's, I'm biased because it's my song, but like a fan song is played before kickoff.
Yeah, I know.
It's not Freed from Desire or Welcome to the Jungle or anything anybody else has. It's our own thing.
Yeah. No, I think it's absolutely amazing. And obviously you've heard the amazing tunes that accompanied that amazing show, A Fans Club. You heard the...
Well, before you logged into the call, I was playing one of them on the guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm looking for.
But you didn't write that music, right, Matt? Did you?
Did you write the music?
I helped with the lyrics, but I had a friend of mine who did the music. Yeah, and it's really interesting because I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on one now. There's one of the songs which is "We're on Our Way, We're at AFC," and I quite like the tune, but I realise it needs to reference Wimbledon. It can't be AFC because it's you know, it could be Arsenal. So I need to rework that for those recordings.
You guys use as your intros. There's some nice guitar playing on those.
That was my mate. He'll appreciate this. you'll have to do one for us, Sammy.
Yeah, if we can commission you for free here on the pod, then we need a new team tune for season four. Season five. We're on season four already.
The music for the what's it called? Wombles Had a Dream. That's one of mine as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, you'll be all again. Sorry, I didn't quite
I'm
catch
trying
that.
To worm my way in as much as possible. Yeah, yeah. I asked the boys from Plow Lane by Numbers when their podcast came out, and I messaged them, "Oh, lads, let me do the music for you," but someone else got there first, so I can't have that one.
No, but you can have ours.
We have lots of talents, and music's not one of them, or singing for that matter.
But what I don't want to do is like, if people want to hear the Wimbledon stuff, I don't want to then go, "Oh, and here's my next song. It's one off my new album." Do you know what I mean? Like, no one wants.
Yeah, I know.
What you're saying? You don't want to open for Mumford and Sons? I mean, come on.
I'm really cross about Mumford and Sons because I'm the second best Wimbledon folk music crossover. Yeah, most famous one.
but Sammy, genuinely, I would genuinely say you should totally throw in one of your tunes.
Do you reckon? You don't know if they're any good, though. That's the thing.
I know, but that's the way to find out. You've got this audience. I think people are going to appreciate it. You should totally throw in one of your tunes. Yeah.
Famous last words. There you go.
Yeah,
so we didn't get into Box Park either before the game or after the game.
Did you not?
What on earth was that all about? No, we tried, but they would let us in.
We couldn't get
no names, no pack drill.
My hero is Mark Jones, and that's embarrassing to say, and I'll cringe next time I see him, but absolutely love Mark. Before I knew who he was, I recognised him because I saw a YouTube video of like the history of AFC Wimbledon. I didn't realise he was one of the founders, and I bumped into him in a pub after a game, and I'd had a few drinks. "Oh, mate, you were in the YouTube video," and like, hovering all over him. And he was so cool about it. It's just really nice. You know, he talked about the game and everything. And he didn't say, "By the way, I founded the club." He was just really nice about it. And then we bumped into him again after an away game, me and my pal. And again, just really happy to see us and lovely. And it's only afterwards I was like, "Oh, shit, now I know who he is. I'm so embarrassed about all the previous conversations I had with him." Anyway, he's always looked after me really beautifully and nicely, and he sorted it out for us to have my song playing before kickoff. And he texted me a few days before the playoff final, and he was like, "Do you want to play?" And I was like, "Ha ha!" And he was like, no, seriously, do you want to play at Box Park?" So yeah, we were like, "Well, you don't want to say no, are you?" So I had like a few days of like pure nervousness, too afraid to eat anything or do anything while we practice our Oasis covers and all that stuff. It was amazing, the most amazing gig. It could have gone either way, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine you went up there and because the people had a drink, you know, we had to, like when we were doing the Wimbledon songs, we had to let everyone sing them, you know. It wasn't about us, was it? It was about everyone. So we had to play stuff that everyone knows the words to.
Yeah. But that must have been incredible. I mean, having that and having, the team come out to your song must be
best day of my life, man. It was amazing. And I knew we were going to win. I went to the Grimsby game and I was really edgy about it. And I didn't think we were going to scrape through it. And then I went to Notts County and I felt the same. Even at the home tie, I wasn't confident. But on the playoff day, of course we were going to win it. I had absolutely no doubt in my mind.
Because we always win at Wembley.
I just got a feeling in my bones, you know. I didn't even worry about it. I didn't even feel nervous towards the end when we got the goal. I was like, yeah, that's our goal. 1-0 win, easy.
Yeah. But that apprehension and nervousness, welcome to being a Wimbledon fan.
Yeah.
Exactly what we all feel.
But that was there yesterday, actually, on Sunday, to be fair. Despite the fact that Northampton really, frankly, were quite shit, let's be honest about it. I don't know where you sit in the ground, Sammy, but... Niall was sitting with me, which is slightly further along towards the centre of the Kappa. And I always get discombobulated when they switch us round, when we don't attack the south stand second half.
Wrong, isn't it? Yeah, I'm in 1-3-2, just behind the goal in the south stand there. That's where I am.
See, the south stand is it's the proverbial 12th man. But the thing was, one of the awful things, just to go back to Matt's earlier rant about playing on a Sunday and why we were playing at 12 o'clock, even the South Stand, who were brilliant in every single game and have been all season and were brilliant at the end of last season, you know, with bounce around and so on, even they couldn't quite get the mood going because everyone's just too asleep. You know, the team, the crowd, the atmosphere just was flat.
One of the things we do really well is that I know they sell tickets. There's like, what do you reckon, half the South Stand is season tickets and half they sell to different people every week. It never feels...
Oh, I imagine the South Stand is going to be nearly all season tickets now.
You reckon?
It's the only spare gaps. It's really in the east stand.
Oh, maybe my point's invalid then. I was going to say it never feels like there's any tourists there. It feels like everyone who's there is up for it and wants to join in. But maybe that's because they're all regular.
The tourists are in the block that I'm in usually. Actually, we've had Norwegians and Germans the last few games. We had a couple of the international one was there yesterday as well. Dutch, I think.
But talking of tourists, we still had quite a few people down there. I mean, there was the, and I love this. Wimboldons.
Yes, the Bulgarian boys. Yeah,
Bulgarian boys, Swedons. I love it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, people flying in from all over the place. I mean, I wonder what some of them felt, or if some people had to cancel because the game was moved to the Sunday. But you know, if people were there for the weekend. They got to see Olvi Leonhardsen on the Friday night. Unfortunately, I wasn't there for that, but he's one of my, you know, growing up, one of my heroes. Growing up, I was in my mid-20s at that point. So it was fantastic.
So was he, Matt.
That's a problem.
Yeah, and then there was, you know, and then obviously on the day itself, and I think, Mark, you caught up with a few of the people.
Yes, we did. And at this point, Adam can splice in the little excerpt because we caught up in person for the very first time, although she's been to a few games, with the one and only potential first listener of Same Old Wombles, namely the wonderful Tricia Garcia and her husband. I'm going to say Adam. Is his name Adam? No. I've got it wrong. It's Marcus. My apologies, Marcus. And Tricia's sister and Tricia's best mate. They all came over from California, which is a really amazing effort to make. Made the whole weekend of it, got themselves... hospitality tickets and everything else. Tricia was all decked out in a yellow dress and a blue cardigan, proper colours. And now you can hear exactly what Marcus and Tricia and friends have to say about the game.
Okay, so welcome here. We've just won the game, 1-0. Brilliant first half. I don't know, nothing happened second half. They recall the second half. It's complete rubbish. Anyway, the big thing here is that we are here with our special guest. It's Tricia's other half, Marcus.
Hey!
Hey, Marcus, how are you?
How's everyone doing today?
This is fantastic. So, like, obviously, if you do a regular listen to the podcast, will know that Tricia is on there a lot, bigging up everything, skipping school regularly, skiving out, pretending to be ill. But the main obvious hero of her life is Marcus. So, Marcus, how does it feel to be Tricia's hero?
Well, you know, I do what I can every day, you know.
I feel he's not that, for an American, he's not very talkative. He is, for dear listener, he is wearing a wonderful, the blue, dark blue Wimbledon shirt, my favourite Wimbledon shirt of all time.
It's true, yeah.
So, Marcus, what do you make of today's game?
It was, a brilliant finish. We held on to our 1-0 lead, you know, as we could.
Right, that's it. I've got to stop him. He's an American. He said 1-0, Mark.
Yeah, but he didn't say 1-0. Soccer, so come on, give him a break.
1-0. I'm not doing that. So, Marcus... 1-0.
1-0.
That's it. Now he's learning. So we're teaching these Americans a few things. He's doing very well. Anyway, we also have Tricia here with us. Tricia, what colours? She's got a blue cardigan, a yellow dress. Perfectly, brilliantly there. Wonderful to meet you. Wonderful to meet you in the flesh. What I want to know is what excuse did you give to manage to get out and wangle this one?
My boss knows better than to need an excuse. She knows exactly where I am. She knows exactly who I am.
That is fantastic. So, Trish, obviously, talk us through. Here we are we're in the 1889 lounge because we're dead posh. And that's where Trisha is. So, Trisha, how posh are you, really? And also, what did you make of today's game? What's more important? What's the experience like?
I am moderately posh, but today's game was amazing. I've seen 6 games in person. I was 1-2-2 before today. Now I'm 2-2-2. Love these numbers. We're moving up. 3 points, huge. Huge. Really sad to see Tilly come off. Hope that's okay, though.
That is pretty cool. Trish, honestly, though, here we are amongst the Wimbledon Massive. How does it feel amongst your brethren, your people?
I love this club. We're massive. We're a big club. And it's great for Northampton to get to come here and play for a big club such as us in front of a huge international audience like this. Love it for them. Sorry they couldn't take home anything. But, you know, we did what we needed to do and we got it.
I don't know if I'm sorry, really. But
I think, Trisha, you're being very, very generous towards the opposition. Because basically, when I try and talk about the opposition and how well they're doing before we play them, and none of the other people on the podcast care. Because we care about Wimbledon.
All right, that's enough for Mark. Enough for Mark. Anyway, the big thing is, obviously, today was the worldwide Wimbledon Day. It's really important. How much do you think that makes? What's been the atmosphere? Have you met other fans from other places?
Oh, I've had the joy of meeting people from Norway, from Serbia, from Australia, other Americans. It's been amazing. Like I said, we're a massive club. We're international. We're worldwide. Absolutely. And it's been a true joy to be here and be with all these international fans for sure.
And obviously the highlight is going to be meeting Toolmark in person. So what do you make? Are you over it? Can you recover from meeting Toolmark in person?
When you say Toolmark, you're really underselling. You're really underselling the tallness. I feel like there's another. We need tall is not exactly the adjective. Maybe we should. We need to come up with something else because tall suggests something even shorter than what I'm experiencing.
we'll have to do a quick photo, which we'll put on the pod, just to prove exactly how generous in height apparently I am.
Right. I mean, obviously, for those of you who just listen to the pod, when we call him Toolmark, you might just think, a little bit Toolmark, when actually like a very, very big Toolmark. So very good point there from Trish. It's wonderful to meet you all. Who else is on your table?
Oh, I dragged my sister. This is her second game. I dragged her for the Boxing Day match in 2024. And my best friend is here. It's my 40th birthday. So I dragged them out and made them come see a match, which we won. So they'll be back.
Oh, God, happy 40th. Happy 40th. Obviously with that, we've got to go to speak to your friends and stuff like that. So firstly, let's meet Tricia Younger, older Tricia? Older sister.
I'm the middle sister.
So what do you make of today? I mean, obviously it's like a big occasion. Obviously the highlight of your year coming here. What do you think?
A win was great. Last time we were here, we had a draw. Better than a loss, but a win feels nice.
So see, all we've been introduced is like Trisha's sister. I'm assuming you have a name.
It's Dana.
Dana.
Yeah.
So Dana, how did you manage to wangle coming here? Because obviously your sister just says, I'm here and I don't care about the kids I teach and they don't really matter. What about yourself?
So I actually finagled the whole thing. She talked about it. the husband was saying, no, we're not going. And I was like, we need to rethink this. This is your 40th birthday. This only happens once. And I basically forced everyone into this trip.
Well, that's big. Congratulations. Thank you, Dana. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's brilliant. And obviously, best friend, the best friend, I've got to say, for our audience, has dyed her hair blue. It's fantastic. It's brilliant blue. It's kind of the blue of, like, I don't know, the awake. Oh, no, maybe home color blue, a little bit dark. Anyway, yes. So what do you make today? And what's your name as well?
My name's Ashley. And Trish and I have been friends for over 10 years now. And I've just seen her grow through the dawns and live to love the dawns, and so to be here has brought me so much joy because I get to see her in her element and love her team so much that it's a great experience for me. I told her I'm her good luck charms because they won, so she has to bring me to every game now.
Well, I think we'll all definitely go for that. Definitely, Ashley has to come to every single game. That's fine. There is a spare season ticket between me and Mark, me and my brother, actually. So you come along, you know, join that, be part of the regular things. And obviously, we'd expect you to be a guest on one of our upcoming podcasts.
Sure.
That'd be fantastic. But listen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any last words, apart from saying happy birthday to the wonderful Trisha?
Yeah, happy birthday. I hope she had a great birthday and enjoyed every minute of it. And, you know, like, she's made me a Dons fan, so... Here we are.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, that's us live from the post-match ceremony here at AFC Wimbledon. Wimbledon 1, Northampton 0. Most important of all, Trisha's 40th birthday. Big up, Trisha. Big up, Worldwide Wombles. Brilliant, brilliant day.
Fantastic. That was great. I mean, that's great. I mean, I was just so excited that we had these people that came over and were there. I mean, it's real for you guys to actually meet our US listeners in person. And have they applied for asylum yet?
There was a little conversation I had about that, about the joy of their current president. And then let's just say they're not fans. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, let's do that.
They have to be able to get back into the country, so we don't want to actually incriminate them completely.
No. Yeah.
In fact, they're probably back in the country now already, to be fair, as we're recording Monday. So.
Fine, I can release the podcast then.
But also, I was quite excited because Leonard was there, but Vinny was there as well on Sunday. Vinny Jones.
And so is Howie Bassett. Howie Bassett walked straight past me. I didn't recognise him.
It was the worst kept secret, wasn't it? Several people came out to me, keep it on the down low, but Vinny's here.
It's interesting because I wondered, has he been before? Like, because I don't know. This is the first time I saw loads of photos of him at Plough Lane. Which is great. I mean, I think
he has been before. I'm sure of it.
Yeah,
well, I think the fact he was there for the Sky game.
Yeah, no, he was at. He's been at King's Meadow before.
He's been at King's Meadow, but I don't know if he's been down to Plough Lane. But there was a good bit on Sky where they sort of like cut to him and then cut to the banner of him, you know, the flag of him. That. Behind the goal, which was quite cool.
Well, while we're talking about former players, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Andy Thorne, because obviously fans will know Andy Thorne is our chief scout. But unfortunately, it was released, I think, quite late Friday night, that he'd recently suffered a heart attack, which I believe is, unfortunately, his second heart attack. But I presume, because it's been released, and it mentioned that it happened on Valentine's Day, around Valentine's Day, that he's now recovering and okay. And being looked after by his wife and by his son. I've met Andy and I've met his son, and yeah, they're proper salt of the earth people. And obviously, he's done a great job with Craig Cope in terms of scouting out little diamonds, rough diamonds. And someone like, obviously, Makeup, for example, has come good in recent times and is probably, arguably, along with Brown, one of the players of the sort of second half of the season so far. So get well soon, Andy.
Yeah, totally. And also, I mean, on a, you know, all of our thoughts go out to Andy Thorne, his family. I'm just pleased that he's well. And there was a couple of other players who were at the game on Sunday as well. Owen Goodman.
James Ball in the house as well.
And James Ball. I think Owen Goodman, I feel, is quite a surprise to me. But I think, Sam, it goes back to that thing that you said earlier on about being loved.
Yeah.
You know, if you get that sort of like, you know, that sort of love and that environment, it does bring out the best in you. It's certainly,
in the South Stand, wasn't it, at the end of last season?
Yeah. I mean, Al Hamady is another prime example of that. He was, you know, exceptional. And it, for whatever reason, it's not worked out for him at Luton at the moment. I think we're all hoping that he might come back to us at some point. But and Goodman was, you know, again, he didn't start the season that brightly. I don't think any of us were 100% convinced by him. But by the time the season ended, he was like, you know, totally one of us. And yeah, it's a shame. It's not worked out. It's not worked out for him either.
But it is interesting with goalkeepers because, I mean, Nathan Bishop was another example. Nathan Bishop was at Man United. He was at Man United with David De Gea, and he was probably like third, fourth, fifth choice, whatever there, and has obviously not necessarily been able to break through there. But people like Goodman and Whitworth, who's been at Exeter on loan for a couple of years, they're in Palace's books. On Palace's books, obviously, it's probably fourth or fifth choice as well. And they've been out and around, never really that near Palace's first team. You've got someone like Matthew Cox, obviously, who never really had an opportunity with us, who is third or fourth choice with Brentford and has ended up out on loan at Shrewsbury, who are making a valiant recovery in the latter part, lower part of League Two. If we can pick, I mean, obviously we have picked Bishop up, but there may well be other players like that who we can pick up that have gone to a higher level and then drop down again.
If you think of all our most successful players in recent years have been players who no one else wanted. No one else wanted Al Hamady. Ronan Curtis and was injured, wasn't he? And we gave him a contract even when he was injured. Marcus Brown and Sammy Hutch came through that PFA thing.
Yep. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's interesting about Sammy Hutch. I mean, I think I'm not sure we'll see him. Unless we get to a point where we are safe towards the end of the season, then
I don't think we'll see him play. I mean, it's weird because I thought he was a, you know, he added a lot, but like when you have something as serious as that, then, you know, I can't see him playing again for us.
Sammy mentioned the Grimsby game earlier on, and I was at that game as well. And it was definitely one of those games where we were all going in hope rather than expectation because the mood of the fans was on the floor. We really weren't playing particularly well at all. And actually, as long as Hutchinson himself is physically well, he's relatively young, obviously in you know adult terms as opposed to football terms, and he's got a young family and everything else, as long as he's well in that regard and then can continue after this season, potentially either retiring or maybe moving into a player-coach role at a lower level, then good luck to him. Because actually he will, just like Curtis will, even for that goal against that team, have a small immortal role in Wimbledon's history, and deservedly so.
Yeah, totally. And actual fact, talking of things, because I know we've talked a lot about, you know, potential player of the year, and, you know, it's exciting for us to have some really good options up there. I mean, you know, I'm converted to Marcus Brown. I think he'd be one up there. Johnson, Seddon.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think would be brilliant. But the important thing is, I guess, probably for us, now coming up at this time, we need to start thinking about our awards, you know?
Because,
you know, it's coming close. And now the big one is, for me, is the Sort It Out Jackson, because we've had two obvious candidates in the last couple of years. Sort It Out Jackson is for non-footballing prowess. So we had Harry Pell won it, didn't we? It's not for non-footballing prowess. It's like, that's sort of like
off the pitch.
What a player does that's slightly, yeah. So Harry Pell
couldn't help it, could it? He kept on mishitting the ball into the crowd. I mean, it didn't obviously mean that, as we all know, because otherwise we'd get fined for that.
Yeah, exactly. No, that
which
was
we sorry. Did.
That's called that. So that's sort of like non-football but football-related activities. The Harry Pell Award. Sorry, that's the Harry Pell Award. The Sort It Out Jackson's Award is for the sub, the best sub that we've had come on.
Which doesn't really work if Jackson still continues. And to be fair, that's the one thing
that Nolan did subs
well enough. Exactly. So possibly the one thing that Nolan did well enough in his last game as Northampton boss was actually try and, with the resources he had at his disposal, make some astute subs. As someone mentioned earlier, I've never seen anyone make a sub at 30 minutes. They do it in rugby occasionally when they're playing particularly poorly, but we haven't done it at all, unless it's obviously injury-related.
And so the Sort It Out Jackson Award a couple of seasons ago went to Ronan Curtis. That was an obvious one. And then last season, it's gone to Callum Maycock. Again, another obvious one. So, you know, have there
Hang
been
on.
Any...
Omar's come on as a sub quite a few times.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, but it's a game-changing thing that he has to do.
Yeah, he changes the game every time he steps on a pitch, mate.
it is really bordering on stalking. So I'm just wondering if we could think back, has there been anything that you can remember a sub coming on this season who's made an impact?
Yeah, the Wigan guy who came on and scored with his first touch to beat us 2-1. But he's a Wigan player, not a Wimbledon player, you know.
Yeah, good work, Mark. Oh. Yeah, that's
goodness sake.
Are you saying it again? Mark, name of the podcast. Just repeat the name of the podcast, please. Yeah. Is it called
Come
the
on,
same
Sammy,
old
save,
opposition?
Save us from this torment.
Is it called the same old Oppo, the same old like Cardiff? No. Same
Be
old.
Be quiet, Bumble. Cooper, and let our guests speak.
Did Hackford score early in the season coming off the bench at home?
Yes, he did, right? Against Rotherham, I believe. I got a programme in front of me. Yes, it was. Rotherham United, September the 13th.
Was it off the bench, though?
Yes, it was. And we won 2-1.
Excellent.
Good memory, eh?
Running
that's
from halfway.
Very good. We've got that. And then we've got our Harry Pell Award, sort of like for us, sort of like the most sort of cheeky sort of thing that's happened.
Well, we've had these blooming back heels. We keep having these back heels.
So. Oh, yeah, it's got to be one of those. I mean, like, honestly, they were proper rude. It's either Matty Stevens or Marcus Brown.
Yeah.
Because they were both, those are two proper cheeky goals. I love them both.
Yeah.
Aaron Sasu, four goal special, would that get in there?
Yeah, but no one's seen him ever since. It's almost like getting away there for those people.
Him off as well.
Memories, you know?
It's an interesting one. Sass could be in there. Yeah, and then we've got obviously the Who Ate All the Pies Award, the best food outlet.
That's a real problem.
That's
right?
Hard, because yeah.
That is hard this year because I like the Greek wrap, but I'd actually say the Argentinian sandwich is better than the Greek wrap, but the Greek wrap's probably better value. And then the chips are quite good, and I was surprised by the hot dog.
The in-house catering, which is now Aramark, yeah, as compared to Elio. I mean, Elio was shit, but Aramark this season are so much better and so much more efficient. I mean, they're still as disinterested as possible, but the food's all right, actually.
If they can add a bit of mash and some gravy with their pies in the catering bit, then we'd be getting onto something.
Yeah, that and a crumble, Niall. You'd be well, mate.
I mean, we all know Humble Crumble need to have a stall at Plough Lane. Though I'm impressed. They also do now sell donuts. So I like the fact
that the donuts apparently very good. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so there you go.
You know what the best thing about this inane conversation about food is? It also indicates that through the results of the last few games, we're so much more confident as a fan base about the rest of the season. You know, we're not talking about 50+1. We probably should be. And we're not talking about necessarily whether we agree or we approve of the way that the Don's Trust board have put the information out, whether the messaging is on point or appropriate or not.
Well, let me pick up on 50+1, right, on here.
Oh, no, here we go.
No, it's not bad.
It's all right. 5-minute cut-off, Sammy, you're fine.
50+1, right, where I'm at with it, is I think that the board, and I said this last week, have done a very good job on the communications and trying to get people to vote. And I think it's really important that we do get people to vote and stuff like that. I've got to say at the moment, and the board are going to love this, I haven't voted yet because I can't make my mind up.
Oh, my giddy aunt, Noel. That's. I mean, I think there is a couple of things in there, aren't there? One of them is that, you know, in the FAQs, you know, in terms of selling on the shares, people have, you know, it has to go back to the board or we have to be one of the first people to buy it. So I think that's an important thing. And just to say to everyone, all of our listeners, of which most of them are actually on this podcast, there's a two-stage voting process, just to remind you. Stage one is you've got to get your votes in by the 23rd of March. And if we get enough people through, then the second stage is going to be on the 8th of April. So the first stage, if we get enough votes, we need 50% of our fan base to vote, and we need 75% of them to vote for. No, yeah. If those things happen, then we go through to the next
stage. Can I throw my hot take in? I'll butt in as your guest. I love partnership so much. I'm like, ideologically, it's so important to me. And it's so much of the reason why I'm coming to football is because I believe and love fan ownership so much. But I am going to vote 50+1 because it kind of boils down to, do I trust people like Angus Fox, Graham Price, Michelle Little, all those people to know better than me and understand all the numbers better than me and to have the club's best interests at heart? Yes, I do. Therefore, if they want me to vote 50+1, then I'll trust them. Yeah, great. And I will vote.
Well, I don't even like Sammy anymore.
Even though ideologically, not why
no, I think Sammy makes a very sensible point. Even though ideologically, I don't want to have to be at 50+1, but if that's the reality of the situation as they've outlined it, then
yeah. I dislike Sammy for that. Sammy, you're very right, because I do actually fundamentally trust the Grahams, the Anguses, James Longhurst, and a lot of those other people. You know, I've met them and known them, and they are, you know, I trust them. So
How many Anguses are there? You said you trust the Anguses. I don't understand how many Anguses are there. I thought there was.
Have you not seen an Angus cow? Must be an Angus cat.
Sammy, in Angus. The kind of fan groups that you know you hang with or see on a match day, whatever, are they talking much about this? Are they particularly engaged?
A lot, and there's so much stuff that's not on social media. If you went just by social media, you'd think that everyone's desperate to sell to the Saudis, and that's not the case from the people you actually speak to at games. I also think, while I'm throwing hot takes around, I just think we need to talk a lot differently about what we think success is. So the narrative at the moment is, success is building a bigger stadium and being in the championship and spending more money on more expensive players. And for me, none of those things are why I'm coming to football. None of those things are success. The more we are like other clubs, the more we become like Chelsea or Fulham or whoever else, the less I would like coming to football. Even expanding Plough Lane, I don't want to expand Plough Lane. Maybe we'll have to because it pays the bills. But like, I think it's great as it is. I think it's a brilliant place to play football as it is. And the success of it being really fun to go there every Saturday, that's enough of a success for me. You know, the success of you might see Lee Brown pass it to Ronan Curtis and score the best goal you've ever seen. That's better to me than how big the ground is and how many people come through the door and, you know, how much money is being plowed in.
I mean, I know this is a weird thing, but I genuinely believe that there is an extra thing. It gives the players an extra thing because, you know, our budget is the second smallest in League One. And yet at the moment, you know, here we are mid table. And what sides in League Two wouldn't give to swap places with us?
And if mid table League One is the best I'll ever see Wimbledon in my lifetime, I'm absolutely fine with that. I think I'd hate to drop out of the Football League, but if my team plays in League One and League Two and is a good team in League Two and sometimes scrapes around in League One, great. I'll support that for the rest of my life. That's brilliant. Yes, please.
Yeah, and there'll always be cup upsets. There'll always be stuff along the way. Exactly. There'll always be stories. Always be stories. You know, that's the great thing. What a brilliant club we have. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, I think the fact is we do pay a lot of attention to what's on social media, and it's usually, you know, when things are going bad, there's usually angry voices out there.
But I've been one of them as well. By the way, I am a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I have said a few times, you know, fuck this, get Mike Ashley on the phone.
But I think we all say things in the heat of the moment. And listen, all of us were Jackson out at one point for the early bit of seasons. But now, come on,
this is
what happens when you stick with someone.
On that, Matt, I have actually had a couple of people directly messaging me about us, about the podcast. And I just want to say, this is from a guy called Matthew Payne, who said, this club makes me feel like watching football again. He wasn't originally a Wimbledon fan. I already feel part of something in a way I cannot remember during my football childhood. And I want to say how much I enjoy the Same Old Wombles podcast. I've helped me enjoy learning and listening about what the club really means. Thank you, Matthew Payne. That is a guy who wasn't a Wimbledon fan, has experienced it, a bit like you said, Sammy Mac, fell in love with it because of what we are.
Where do you think all these new fans are from? How many did you get at King's Meadow compared to now? Where do you think all these people have come from? They've come for the story. They've come because they go to Plough Lane once like me and they think, yeah, man, this is brilliant. I want to come here every week.
Yeah, exactly. And I've said it before. I said it last week. you know, we haven't had anyone who's successfully stood for the DTB on a sell up platform. I'd be interested.
I'll come though. I think that will happen eventually. But yeah.
But I mean, I'm interested because I would like that to be a debate. You know, if people are going to do it, then and stand and have that debate and say why you think that. But and maybe some people think they're frightened of losing what we have. It could be an argument. But like you, I trust the people who are running the process. If we at the end of it, we'll still be a fan-owned club, and that's the beautiful thing about supporting this team. Right, guys, I'm going to sort of like draw this to an end. I just want to say thank you very much to my friend Al Cooper, to Dr. Dan Proctor, whose fingers on the buttons, to Tall Mark Lewis, and our amazing special guest, who you can catch at every single home game. And even if you can't hear him live, you can hear him as the team comes out. It's fantastic, Sammy. And we're looking forward to the new Same Old Wombles theme tune.
And thank you to everyone, all Wimbledon fans, who've made me and my mates and my little boy so welcome at the club and have made us lifelong fans, have turned some local people who weren't bothered about going to football matches into hardcore fans. And there's loads of people like me who are like that, and they'll continue to come because, you know, it's a bit special, this club, isn't it?
It really is. Thank you so much. Right, everyone, dear listener, we'll catch you next time with the Same Old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known.